Just to invite all of our guests, Kevin from Yeshiva in Queens. We usually have the shmooze on Wednesday, and we pushed it off, so even though you were here on time yesterday, we didn't realize that. But we didn't want you to have to miss it, so have you in mind special. So the pasuk in the parasha starts off by Yishma Yisro, Kohen Midian, and Yisro, who was the Kohen, head of Midian, Moshe's father-in-law. He heard everything that happened to Klal Yisro in Mitzrayim, and he came to be with Klal Yisro in the Midbar. So there's a Ralbag here, says a little different pshat than Rashi. Rashi says he heard about Kriyas Yamsuf and Melchemes Amalek, and this just fascinating Ralbag. If we read it together, there are a few points I think we could bring out from here. So the Ralbag says, Amar Shekfar Shama Yisro. Well, maybe I should just introduce the whole story. So the pasuk says Yisro hears what happened in Mitzrayim. And then Moshe goes out to greet Yisro as he's coming. And then it says, Vayisaper Moshe Lechosno, and Moshe told over the whole story to his father-in-law, as Kol Asher Osa Hashem Lefaro Mitzrayim, all this Yisro. And Moshe tells over to his father-in-law everything that happened. Al Odos Yisrael, Iskol Atzlo, all the problems Hashem Motzaosa and Baderech VaYetzalim Hashem, all the problems that they encountered, Hashem saved them from. And then VaYichad Yisro Al Kol Atova, and then Yisro speaks about all of the great. He expresses all of his admiration and extols Hashem, Asheros Hashem the Yisrael. And Vayomer Yisro Baruch Hashem, maybe that's where the expression comes from. Asher Hitzil Eskem Yam Mitzrayim. Blessed is Hashem that He saved you from Mitzrayim, Yad Paro. He makes this great declaration, Yisro. So there's some obvious issues here. You don't need the Rabbag to come up with the kasha yourself. I had the kasha myself. Yisro hears, and obviously he heard the things that happened as Kol Asher Osa Elokim LeMoshe. Yisro heard everything that happened, and then later on it says Vayisaper Moshe Lechosno. Moshe told over to Yisro all the stories. So like what's he heard about it? What's he telling him stories? They sometimes want to, you know, tell me the rest of the story. Like Stama, you know. You tell over your, you know, something happened in yeshiva today, just telling your parents over the story, like, what was it? Just, oh, and you got to hear this, that happened, what was going on? So the Ralbag is addressing that question. So Omar, let's read it together, and then we'll just see what we can learn from this Ralbag, and what chidushim we can extract, if any, from this Ralbag. So Omar, Shekvar Shama Yisro. Yisro already heard Kol Asher Osa Elokim LeMoshe LeYisrael Imo Min Eflos. He already heard everything Hashem did for Moshe and Yisrael with all of the Neflos, with all the miracles. Kasher Hotzi Es Bnei Yisrael Miyad Mitzrayim. When Hashem took Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Hine Shama Lefizeh Pirish. According to this Pirish, he heard Makas Bechoros. Umashe posach Hashem Yisrael al batei bnei Yisrael levilti hayo sham negev lamashkus. The things he heard about was makas bechoros. How the Ralbag knows this, I don't know. I started looking back in Va'era, but I leave that to you to research why the Ralbag is learning this pshat. And he Yisroel heard about Makas Bechoros and the fact that each of the doorposts of the Yidden were smeared with dam so that the Malach would not kill the Bechor of the Bnei Yisrael. And also, Umasheshilim Hamitzrim Bitseisam Klei Kesev Klei Zov Smolos, and that all that the Mitzrim gave to Klai Yisrael, all the wealth and riches, they steeped and they just heaped upon Klai Yisrael. Kinosan Hashem Chein Ha'am Beinim Mitzrayim, because Hashem made another nest that the Mitzrim wanted to give all their wealth over to the Yidden, so they just showered it on them. It's also a nes. You see, if somebody likes you, don't think you're such a hot, you know, commodity. Hashem had to make that person like you. So some people walk around, nobody likes them. It could be true. It could be no one likes them. Doesn't have that. You have to daven for that. Hashem should give you chein. But you see over here that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave chein in to the Yidden in the eyes of the Mitzrim so that they gave him all their wealth. Okay. Ki elu neflos osa Hashem yisalak asher otzim Mitzrayim. And all of these neflos, all of these wonders Hashem gave to the Jews when they left Mitzrayim. V'yedame shelo haya nocham einav adavar. And Yisro thought that this is not proper. This whole scenario does not seem proper. Ki lo yiyazeh me'ayosher b'chok Hashem. This is not yosher. Yosher means straight. It's not the right thing. In the laws of Hashem, this is not right. Hashem shouldn't be doing something like that. Kishlo yivoda bo yosher mizeh ashir. They didn't have any warning. If you look at the commentary on bottom, the Ha'aris, all of a sudden, you wiped out all the Mitzrim, all the Bechoros, A large percentage of Mitzrayim got wiped out with Makas Bechoros. And all their wealth went, Bechoros, the people died and their wealth went almost like overnight. You decimate a whole country like that? L'zeh shav Moshe l'saper l'Yisro. That's why Moshe went back and repeated to Yisro, Es kol ha-makas asher hevi Hashem Yisrael paro Mitzrayim b'hadraga. Then he went back and said, nah, it wasn't like that. It started with Dam, Tzadeya, and the damage to Egypt was very minimal at the beginning. And all the problems that Yidden encountered, Meredifus Paro, V'chelo Achreim, Melchemus Amalek, all the problems they had, Paro chasing after them, and the war with Amalek, etc., etc. V'oz, after Yisro heard that, yeah, this was not just overnight. The Mitzrim had plenty of warning. And it was slowly, slowly, gradually going up and up and up until the final end. Listen, they're still not compliant and they're not capitulating at the end of the day. Okay, enough is enough. Wipe them out. Bechoros, wealth, gone. V'oz hod Yisro l'shem Yisrael. Then Yisro made a declaration, made a sudas hoda ubarach, and he made a blessing. Also, Baruch also, he blessed Hashem, ki ra, he saw, ki biyosher hevi Hashem yisbarach al Mitzrayim, mashevi neros, that it was talking with Yashus, with a sense of, it was sensible, it made a lot of sense, that which he brought about any problems to the Mitzrayim. And that answers the question. Okay, is that a few questions? And a few answers? And we call it a day. So it seems like Yisro had a major kasha. Ki lo biyosher, quote the exact, ki lo yiyazeh me'ayosher b'chok Hashem. This was not proper. It was not proper what Hashem did. You wipe out Mitzrayim and Taka, that's what Yisro felt. So if Yisro felt that, my first question is, so why did he come to the Midbar? What did he come for? He had this kasha. So to answer this question, we see a chiddush that just because a person has a question, this is a continuation of an old shmooze from, I don't know if it was one or two shmoozim ago, that just because you have a kasha on something doesn't shlug up the whole thing. So he had a kasha, but he saw the niflos Hashem. He saw makas b'choros. He saw the Malach HaMavis was able to skip over the houses of the Yidden, how he protected them. He took them all out of Mitzrayim, and he gave them all the wealth. He saw enough, and he was able to come to the Midbar. And it wasn't just Tom next door. And also you have to realize he just wasn't a civilian, just, you know, trading positions. Okay, I got a job here, I'll take the same job there. I'll move my office over there. He went from Melech Kohen Midyan to a nobody, a civilian. Come as Moshe's father-in-law, give you a bed in the tent on the right. Come and live like a Bedouin. So this was major. And he had this kasha. Ki lo yezeh meyosher b'chok Hashem. It wasn't yashrus. But the ikar thrust of his feelings that he recognized in the flow of Hashem was not touched, was not moved. That he deherred. And he has to make this change, this transformation. And it was a major transformation. He was able to do it even with the kasha, which is a very big yisov, because we have a tendency when we have a kasha to just, you know, throw in the towel. It's okay. It's okay to live with a kasha. I don't have the whole teretz. I have mostly, I understand, but I have this kasha and I don't have the teretz right now. You could live with it. The next question is, so if he could live with it, so why didn't he give Shevach Lehodah? It says he didn't give the Shevach Lehodah until after Moshe explained to him everything. So, the Chora we see from here is the tremendous koach in something not being 100% yosher. It's not 100% yosher. It's stifling. It can paralyze a person. A person thinks that the Ribono Shel Olam overreacted or acted with any kind of cruelty or zorius or ruthlessness. He was able to give up his melucha, but he could not give the praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see how important it is that the decisions that we make, I assume this would apply outside Ribono Shel Olam also, that if you want to respect something, you have to feel that there's yashrus. I was thinking about this, just the deher, like, this wasn't just Stam, a sniper, like, employee who's angry at the boss, doesn't understand any of the boss's decisions. Because, like, Altodin Eschaveru at Shagia, he gave him Limkomo, don't judge a person until you get to his place. So, you know, you have a $10 hour worker who the corporation is making decisions for everything and they're losing money and going to have to close, so they're going to have to get rid of some workers. There were some workers and the workers said they don't know what they're doing. How can you get rid of these? They're vital workers, but they're going to close down. They don't know the whole story, so they snipe. But here, I don't know, I assume, you know, Yisro was Kohen Midyan. He was the head of Midyan. He knew what it means to make decisions. He couldn't be Dan, you know, couldn't be Dan a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavzchus. Like, this is someone like almost, I was thinking that was Higia Limkomo. Like, not the Higia Limkomo to Kodesh Baruch Hu, but he knows sometimes you have to make tough decisions. He's a boss. He says the boss. It wasn't just Tom, some schlepper saying he doesn't understand anything. Sometimes you're as a king, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is the king. He's the king. He sees that. You have to make decisions. So he But he couldn't get past this. It's not yosher, even though, you see, sometimes it can't be down the kapskos. It's not yosher. It's so important that something has to be yosher. It has to be, every chance was given to the person. Otherwise, it's like, can't respect. Even HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he couldn't respect it, even though he was a melech also. No, couldn't get past this. So how do we learn yashrus? How do we learn yosher? How do you know? What's yosher? We see how important it is, but how do you know if it's yosher? Because any time you think about it, if a teacher in a classroom has to administer any kind of discipline, so do you think it's possible that there's a Talmud, a student, who ever thought that his teacher was being unfair? I think I recall maybe one or two cases in my principalship days where I was accused. Maybe you could remember once in your past that you thought that the teacher, sometime between first grade and 12th grade, maybe in Spanish, we have a few rules, not that many, that something that was administered that was a little bit, you felt was unfair. And it's tremendous hindrance. I was speaking to one of our alumni who's in a different yeshiva. He has such, he can't learn. He has such kindness. They made this decision. He can't get past it. It's not yosher. And I, happened to see this shmooze like shortly after I spoke with him. Now I understand better. It seems like this particular idea of not being yosher, it's not fair. This kind of not being fair is so overpowering. It's so overpowering. To Yisro's credit, he was still able to come. Okay, Gevaldik, that's a schmooze in itself, but that's an old schmooze. But it's overpowering, this feeling of it's not fair. We have to realize that is important. And yes, the Rebbe, the Manal, the principal, whoever's in the position has to make a decision. Yes, you have to be thinking, what is the Talmud, what is the student going to be thinking? If he's thinking it's not fair, it's going to be paralyzing. Hopefully the Talmud will be on the Madrega of Yisro that he'll still, leave his post, his kingdom, and come into Gullus. Hopefully he'll be on the Madrega, hopefully. But even Yisro still, there was still a lot left that he could have done. He couldn't embrace Hashem. He couldn't declare. He make his declaration. He couldn't make a Sudas Hadar. He couldn't do it because this was gnawing at him. It's not fair. So how do we get to that point? So I remember, this is not part of the Shmooze, just but Derech Eitzah, that we were hacking the Rashiva. How does a person learn common sense? I don't know if common sense as yosher is the same thing, but maybe. So I assume it is. How does a person learn common sense? Because some people have more common sense than others. You know the expression, common sense is not so common. So how does a person learn common sense? And the Rashiva, remember saying that if a person learns, he goes through sugyas be'ian, that's how a person develops common sense. If he, everyone, ish lefi madrigaso. Learning in itself brings a person to a yashus. When you hear what is a good svara, what isn't a good svara, this fine line of is it a kasha or isn't it a kasha? Do you hear the svara or did not hear the svara? Is it a chiddush or isn't it a chiddush? These fine nuances of Ian in everything that we do, whether it's learning the Chavrusa, learning in Shir, learning Musar, understanding a Shmuz, getting clarity in is it this or is it this is what brings a person to Yosher. So understanding the difference between one thing and another, is this fair? Maybe not. Maybe a little bit more. Understanding the degradations of, is it one way or the other, is what brings a person to having yosha. But see how important it is. Having, there are certain people, if a major decision had to be made, there are certain people I would just call. They're known to be, you know, they have a certain natural yashus that they developed. You know, make a decision without speaking to someone. He has yashus. And those are the people that we respect, the people that have yashus. They're sensible and fair. So it's such a vital mida to develop. First of all, should know learning in itself develops that intuition, that sense, that sixth sense to know what is fair. Learning develops that, so we have the extra benefit, aside from every other reason why we should learn, just for our own Yiddishkeit, just to keep ourselves inspired and keep ourselves as Bnei Torah. Learning is a chash of a mitzvah to learn, but also it'll give us that sensibility, that sense of yashus, to be able to administrate in our lives, our families, Bez Hashem, Talmidim, who knows, it's always necessary, and without it, regretfully, it's a paralyzing influence that could really stifle another person's growth.